Well, welcome to After Hours with me, Rick Hogan. Because it's Oscar night, I did a very unusual thing and had two people come to the studio on Saturday afternoon to pre-record this. I don't even know if they watch the Oscars, but I just thought, well, this would give me an opportunity to watch the Oscars while you listen to the fascinating conversation I'm about to have with a very old friend of mine, Shelley MacArthur Farley, who I knew as Shelley MacArthur, a stunning lounge singer in the day. Do you like that phrase, Shelley? Yes, it was a place called, I knew her mostly from a place called the Gold Star Sardine Bar. And joining her is Bill, how do you pronounce your last name?
Freyr.
Okay, I went to Ireland this year. I should know how to pronounce everything. Bill is the creative and artistic director of, I used to mispronounce this and I will now, Shimson Na Gael.
You got it.
Close enough. That's close enough.
You're Irish.
Yes, in many ways, Phil, in many ways, that are many of which I don't want to admit. This is an event I've been to a number over the years. It takes place this Tuesday at the Symphony Center. And what I love about it is it elevates the whole notion of St. Patrick's Day in this town, which too often is just relegated to, you know, kiss me, I'm Irish, buttons, and a lot of booze. There's so much more meaning to it. Don't you think that's, both of you, that that's one of the things that makes Shimson Na Gael a glorious Chicago event?
Absolutely. Yeah, we wanted to offer a gift to the city, a little bit more than the green beer, and something a little more substantial or classical, something sharing the history and the art of the Irish and Celtic people in Ireland and throughout the world as they mix with other cultures and create new types of music and art having mixed with other cultures.
Well, and people don't often realize the astonishing cultural impact of the Irish people. Yes, there's some great writers. Ooh, there's some great music. I was talking a few weeks ago with Liz Carroll,
Is
arguably the greatest fiddle player in the country.
Oh, about in the world. That whole, yeah.
In the world.
And she's in our show. Liz is. Yeah.
She's in this show?
Yeah.
Wow.
Shimson Na Gael.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shelley, how did
Is she every year in the show? No, just this year.
Probably every second or third year she is.
It's amazing.
Yeah, because she's busy and she, well, understandably busy. Now, Shelley MacArthur Farley, how do you... I'm not even going to talk to you, Bill.
Transition, Rick?
No. How do you accept the arduous chore, you and your husband, Bill, of being co-chairs with this with Virginia Norm Bobbins and Lynn and Jim Kelly? That's a big responsibility, isn't it?
It is a big responsibility, but, you know, I'm very passionate, number one, about Bill. I have to say that it's really Bill that I believe in him. I really do.
Yeah.
And I have really... In the last 10 years, I really only try to do things that I'm really passionate about. And Old St. Pat's is one of those institutions that I feel I would like to do whatever I can for them.
How long have you been going to Old St. Pat's?
Oh, wow. Long time. I want to say 22, 23 years.
Shimson Na Gael's been going on for...
This has been going on, I want to say, the 22nd year. I have sung in this particular program twice, which was really powerful.
Yeah.
It really was powerful.
You sing in the choir, though.
Soprano. Hello, Rick.
You are?
Oh, yes. Not only am I slung over the piano, I do first soprano.
Well, the great thing is that would be great if they served booze during Mass.
No, you don't have to do that.
But we do serve booze during choir rehearsals. During the break.
Bill, how far back do you go with Old St. Pat's?
About the same amount of time. I've been there since 91.
Because one of the things about Old St. Pat's and all the proceeds from Shimson Na Gael go to benefit various programs at Old St. Pat's.
Correct.
The Old St. Pat's story is one of the most astonishing in the history of this town. This church had, as I've heard from John Cusick and John Wall, who came into what was then Skid Row to try to save this place, it didn't even seem as if it could be saved. There were, you know, four drunken parishioners and nothing else. Don't you think it's both of you something of a small...
Old St. Pat's is really an extraordinary experience, and to to really validate that, my husband, who is Irish, 99% Irish, was raised Catholic.
What's that other percent, though?
I don't know what the
other
percent.
What is that? That's so strange. 1%
yeah, that does sound weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, I like it. I
don't know that 1%.
The mystery 1%.
Exactly.
The bill.
But he, but he literally started going back to church because of Old St. Pat's and the priests that were at Old St. Pat's. It is such an extraordinary parish. It's a community.
It is,
and we're going
to
Rome in April with Jack Wall, Father Jack Wall, for he's doing a celebration of his priesthood years for 50 years. We have an audience with the Pope. I'm very excited.
Jack's been a priest for 50 years.
Yes. Yeah. And so I got Bill, or Bill came with me or what have you, to Old St. Pat's, and since then he has continued going. It's one of the few churches, and there's some beautiful churches in the city of Chicago, but the priests there are so connected with what's happening today.
Well,
today,
Shelley,
is the key word.
I think one of the reasons for that is when Jack and John first went there, you necessarily had to be connected with your environment, because the environment was a beleaguered, beaten up environment. And I think that's just carried through as the more rarefied crowd came into that, so to speak. Maggie Daly, and I think one of the reasons that church did take off is the Daly started going there.
Sure.
And Maggie, one of the loveliest people I have ever met, and a person so committed not just to the city, but to the arts. Father Jack Wall, or whatever you call priests these days, obviously picked the right person to put the arm on to start Shimson and Gale. She and Mrs. Ryan are the ones who started this. What was Jack's original idea? What is it along the lines of my thought to sort of have a more meaningful celebration around St. Patrick's Day?
Absolutely. That was Jack's exact idea, to do something a little bit more for the city of Chicago that was more cultural. It was the 150th anniversary of the celebration of Old St. Pat's, and it was also, there had been a famine remembrance suite that had been written and done at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York.
And we
said, well, if they could do it in New York, we could do it here in Chicago.
What were you doing at that time when he put the arm on you two to get involved? You've been at Old St. Pat's for a long time.
Right. Yeah, I came in 91. I'd been at the oldest cathedral in California at that time, Old St. Mary's Cathedral in San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
And then I came here.
To do what?
I came here to be the director of music at Old St. Pat's, worship music, and then it just kept on growing, numbers of choirs, and then we started to do concert programs. The first one being, I think, Deck the Hall, and then Shimsa was next.
Well, I have been listening to Shelley MacArthur Farley sing for almost 30 years now. I've reviewed her. I would like to know what you think of her. She's obviously, and I'm going to say this, she's obviously gotten better, has she not?
Oh, she has. Yeah. One of my favorite stories, I remember being at Park West, and it was a cabaret night, and there were all kinds of cabaret singers, getting up there. Well, it was probably about 20, 25.
Yeah.
And one was better than the other, and better and better and better. And I thought, this is stiff competition. And I was hoping for you, and I was there for you. And she got up there, and she knocked it out of the park.
It was like you
absolutely belonged there. And, it was some of the best talent around, and you were right there, if not better than a number of them.
Do you know, the interesting thing is singing that genre, which is wonderful, but one of my true passions is doing classical, and that's why I loved singing at Old St. Pat's in the choir, because I love to use my soprano voice, and I've had the opportunities of being able to sing with Rod Dixon, who is going to be performing
in
the show
Tuesday,
along with his wife, and he's an extraordinary tenor, and we've done shows together, and we've had such a wonderful time because we've been able to mix the different genres of music between classical and not pop, but jazz, and it's been really great. But singing in Old St. Pat's Choir is one of the most, and I'm not exaggerating, yeah, powerful experiences I've ever had.
Wow.
And when you see this show,
as you should,
you
ladies
cry.
And gentlemen, Tuesday night, yeah.
Tuesday night, you will cry at the end.
Wow.
Because it's so moving and it's so uplifting when you have all the voices of, I think there's, what, 100 people in the choir, Bill?
There's going to be a total of 125, 130.
You've got, I mean, we'll talk in a moment about everything that's involved in the show, because you've got the great Catherine O'Connell as part of the thing. And I saw, it is Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. It's not Sunday. This has been recorded on Saturday. I saw Bill and Catherine on, like, I don't know, one of these goofy morning news shows for about a vast 3-minute segment. And the horrible part of it was they cut Catherine's song off to have an ad for Wendy's. And I said,
right,
this is something. Something is not right with the world when they do this. When they do this kind
I heard
of thing,
it was White Castle.
Oh, you're
better
right.
Than
it was White Castle. At least it's a cooler brand. You must work on this, putting together Shimson and Gale all year long, Bill. Do you not?
Oh yeah. It takes a number of years. I mean, I already have things for the next 2 years that I'm working on.
What intrigues me, though, too, is it has ever been themed. Who comes up with the notion of how to theme a year's program? I'm sure it's you and maybe even Shelley and some other people sitting around thinking, well, this year we should devote it to blank.
Correct. That's how it happens. It's, I enlist the wisdom of lots of people. We have an artistic committee. Shelley's been on our artistic committee. Rod Dixon, Catherine O'Connell, Joy Tillis, Jimmy Moore. Jack Wall, Tom Hurley.
What about that John Cusack guy? You don't let him on the creative team?
We love John Cusack.
No, I'm always asking people, do you have any ideas? Or, are there any places that I've never heard of where the Irish diaspora intersects, with other cultures? So it's just a matter of being attentive to what people are saying, doing research. And then asking for the wisdom of many different people.
Well, and then you are charged with going out and finding,
correct,
the talents to bring that theme to life.
Yeah.
It can't be too difficult in Chicago. There's some big talents here.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Just one other thing on the previous questions. We used to do things that were already, put together, like a number of pieces by Sean Davey and Liam Lawton and Patrick Cassidy. And then we started running out of pieces of music around Irish art and music that were already put together, so we had to start creating things. And so that's
a wonderful challenge for you, though, is it not?
Necessity is the mother of invention. So that's been wonderful. And yeah, we have great talent in Chicago to pick from. I mean, I think the best Irish trad musicians are here in the city of Chicago.
I agree.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
You've also used, but you have these extraordinary narrators from all over the country. I mean, very famous people. Tell Rick some of your incredible people
Our very first one was, I think, Gabriel Byrne, but one of the most memorable ones was Gregory Peck.
Oh, my God.
And the first time you...
All right, Bill, how did you get Gregory Peck, who I am not sure has any huge, strong, he didn't play for the Bears or anything. How do you get Gregory Peck to come to an event like this, a one-shot only thing, to act as a narrator?
You know, there's just so many different people that come to Old St. Pass that know so many other different people.
Good point.
And with the likes of Shirley Ryan and Maggie Daly I mean, the likes of Shelley Farley and Shirley Ryan and Maggie. I mean, that's really how we...
I must ask you, was Gregory Peck any good?
Oh, he was fantastic. And
Martin Sheen.
And Martin Sheen and John Malkovich and Bonnie Hunt and Joan Cusack. I know I'm leaving. Brian Dennehy.
Brian Dennehy.
And John Mahoney. Carol Marine was one of
John
the best
Mahoney.
Ones.
Wow.
One of the Ponce... people.
What do they do, the celebrated? You have three very interesting ones this year, too. What do they read? What are they narrating?
Yeah, there's a... we write a narrative story that goes with it, so it's
who's
interspersed.
We? Who's we?
Different people, but this year it's Mary Evers and myself that write it. Another.
Sort of a narrative that strings together,
correct,
story and song.
Right.
That is a great idea.
Yeah, it's very unusual. I mean, you don't find it anywhere else.
Yeah.
storyline of the music.
Well, because it makes
you spend a lot of time on that, Bill. I mean, that it's a
it's amazing.
Yeah.
But it also, both of you, Shelley, and that it makes giving it a narrative makes it less a kind of variety show. Do you know
Correct.
What I mean?
Yes,
even though you have great performance, it's not a variety.
It's not a variety show. It's a movement.
Yeah,
it's a cultural movement. I think that you feel when you're sitting in the hall. I feel that you are really learning and experiencing the different culture at that time because you're going through a story with these different singers and then intertwined with the musicians who are wonderful and the Irish
stellar.
Musicians are there and then the Irish dancers and now with Melody Hobson's After School Matters choir.
Yeah, we've had them with us three different times, After School Matters.
Yeah.
And this year we have, again, Trinity Irish Dance. And we also have a dancer from 42nd Street that was just out at Oak Brook.
Right, right.
Devon Suttles is going to be doing some tap dance.
Oh, my mother's going to love that.
Oh, yay. Yeah, he's a great dancer. And Katie Grennan, an Irish step dancer, just was at CSO this past January.
The show generally, in years past, not all 22 years or 21 years, has been a sellout. The money, again, goes to benefit various programs at Old St. Pat's. I would like you to go to the Old St. Pat's. .com. You can get them on that website because I want people to experience. Old St. Pat's is just a treasure here. And the more you know about Old St. Pat's, the better off you will probably be. One year it had to move. And I saw it at the
auditorium.
Tell
theater.
Me I was not loaded or something, but I did see it at the
true,
auditorium
Rick.
Theater.
It really did happen.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It did happen.
That was just because Symphony Center was busy.
You know, I've gotten to that age where I can't remember.
Good.
Yes, that is good.
I think that's probably
we're like-minded and lacking memory, Bill. I have to assume that there are people who have probably gone every single year. And so there is a onus on you, a certain responsibility on both of you, Shelley, MacArthur Farley, in being a co-chair with your husband, Bill, of not reinventing it every year. I get the sense that it is really a responsibility that both of you feel to not be repetitious, to not do the same thing, to really discover new elements that enliven not just the show, but enlivens people's feelings of what it means to be Irish.
Absolutely.
Well, and Bill, you know, you years in advance, I think, as you said, you're working on something for 2 years. You know, and it's also very complicated to get scheduling down with certain people a year in advance, especially for celebrity people, to have them. And the choir, I might add, it's such a blessing, and they are really angels because they rehearse 2 days a week for, I want to say, starting in
September.
September.
No.
No, which is why I'm wayward. Rick, which is why I'm wayward.
You never have to rehearse, Shelley.
No,
I know that.
Are you kidding? When you work with Bill, you got to rehearse. He's got a pointer stick at rehearsals.
What?
Soprano.
That's called a baton.
Sorry.
Bill, there are all manner of logistical challenges to this thing. How often do you rehearse? Do you do a full run-through before the show, which is Tuesday? Maybe you're doing it this afternoon. I don't know.
No, we have a difficult time doing a complete run-through.
How bad?
We'll have a rehearsal Monday for the first time with the orchestra, the Irish Trad Band, the dancers, the singers, and the choir. And but both choirs, Old St. Pat's and After School Matters. And then Tuesday afternoon at around 3 o'clock, we start putting it all together at Symphony Center and do a run-through at 4:15.
I suppose it's an idiotic question, but have you ever been tempted or seduced to do this more than once? You know, one show is one show, and it makes it very special. And it makes it unique. But I've got to think somewhere along the line, people have said, hey, Bill, let's take this show on the road. or let's do it for a weekend, or let's do it for 3 days. Has that happened?
People say that all the time. In fact, Shelley's husband has said that a number
of times. Did he really?
But then you turn around and say, well, would you help produce it? And then he doesn't say it anymore.
And then he goes, well, thank you, no, yeah.
But it's costly, though.
It's always been thought of.
I mean, it should be repeated.
Yeah, I think so,
It should be repeated. Yeah. But it's just getting all the right people in alignment.
One of the really intriguing, as Shelley and Bill have been talking, Broderick Dixon's going to be there, Catherine O'Connell.
Gavin Coyle.
The Old St. Pat's Concert Choir, the Trinity Irish Dancers, the Metropolis Symphony Orchestra, Gavin Coyle, Elfrida Burke. They're going to be soloists in this thing. What intrigues me terribly is basically the narrative here is the story of two slave liberators.
Correct.
Yeah. One of whom I certainly know, but only vis-a-vis America, and the other one, even though I went to Ireland for a few days this year, I'm no expert in Irish heritage and culture, Daniel O'Connell and Frederick Douglass. Talk to me, if you could, about that relationship. And did you know about this beforehand? I mean, this isn't come to news to you, right? You're pretty. You're more Irish than I am. Yeah.
We've kind of touched on it a number of times before, but we always go at it from a different angle. Daniel O'Connell was called the Liberator of Ireland, and he was the one that managed to pass through the Catholic Relief Act,
sure,
giving more rights for Catholics to own property, to vote, to marry outside of their religion. He was the one that made that possible. And Frederick Douglass, at the same time that Daniel O'Connell was alive doing all that, Frederick Douglass had written his book on slavery, the narrative of slavery.
Right.
And he feared for his safety because he named names in the book. So he traveled to Ireland.
And that's why he went to Ireland. That's fascinating.
For his own safety. And then subsequently, the Irish Quakers and the English Quakers paid $771 for his freedom from slavery. And so you can say that the Irish and the Quaker English did pay for his freedom. When Douglass went to Ireland, he and O'Connell met up, and they traveled around the country speaking to huge crowds, speaking out against slavery in any form it took. Initially, historians say that Douglass was in favor of the South seceding. But after working with and talking with Daniel O'Connell, he came to the conclusion that, slavery anywhere affects us everywhere.
That is just a great story.
It's a great, and isn't that timely right now?
Oh.
I mean,
to
have that happening, to have this show right now at this time.
Yeah.
It's so interesting how the universe works and things all come together. Not knowing, really, at the time when you had been thinking about this 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but part of the program, the arc of it, goes towards the more than 30 million people involved in or trapped in slavery today.
Yeah,
The beginning of the program starts with slides of oppression in Ireland in the early 1800s, and then pre-Civil War slavery, and then contemporary slavery. So the idea is to look at the world today, but to look at it through the eyes of two people who succeeded in reducing.
You really are. You're literally giving me chills talking about this thing.
Oh.
And I think that is. Then you add it's embellished with all this marvelous musical, and dancing entertainment that it. You may be learning a terribly important, crucial history lesson that echoes in today, but it comes at you.
Bill, are you ending the show with my very favorite song?
Go out and tell the story. Make them hear you from Ragtime.
Make them hear you. It's so empowering. No, I'm not going to sing any of it, but it is chilling.
Yeah, it just I got chills.
With 125. Yeah.
But one of the new songs that we're doing, it was made popular by Nina Simone. It's called I Wish I Knew.
Sinner Man, no, just joking.
I wish I knew how it felt to be free, something like that. It's a great piece of music. So, we're doing some gospel music, we're doing Irish music, we're doing.
That has always been one of the hallmarks. I may not have been at one of the early ones, but it is this cultural stew. It is not this straight ahead.
You're right.
Everything Irish. It addresses the way that Irish arts and entertainment have influenced other cultures and how other cultures...
Or vice versa.
Exactly. How the Irish have been open to being influenced by other cultures.
The Irish have never colonized anything.
That's right.
They just moved into cultures and... They shared what they...
I will argue they sort of colonized Chicago politics at a time.
At a time, they colonized Chicago politics.
Who is narrating? Before I let you two go, and again, Shimson and Gale is Tuesday. There are all sorts of ways. I'm not going to spell it for you, but I think the easiest way to do this is to go to oldstpats.com or CSO.org and get tickets. I mean, if you've been listening to this, you must be intrigued. And remember that all the money raised from this is very expensive to put this on.
Goes
to Old St. Pat's.
Pay for the program.
Or there is a number you can call, which is 312.
People still use phones? Wow.
Oh, yes. They're cell phones, Rick. 312-294-3000.
That's great. Who is narrating, before I let you go, who is narrating this year? Let's think of someone really famous, like Brad Pitt.
I wish.
See? Yeah.
Liam Neeson.
Yeah, Liam Neeson, Brad Pitt.
He was on our call sheet. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah. No, but we have great narrators. We have...
Oh, you always have. You always have.
We have the Irish senator at large, you know, for the Irish diaspora, Billy Lawless.
Great. Yeah.
And then we also have from another... station, not to be mentioned, Leanne Trotter.
Oh, mention her. Leanne's a great friend of mine.
We also have Brad Weddington is doing some of the narrative. He works with After School Matters and
fantastic.
Teaches theater, I think, at Columbia here in town. And then we have Daniel O'Connell's great, 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 great granddaughter, Patria Levy.
For real? Really?
For real. She's coming in from York, and she's a dress designer.
Really?
And she was just
then
named.
I need to meet her.
Yeah, I was thinking of that. She was just named as one of the most influential Irish women in the world under the age of 40.
Well, that's great.
She's number 34, I think.
That's a huge honor. Shelley, what are you doing?
Start dressing the choir.
Yes.
Now, Shelley
MacArthur. They're wearing black and then sometimes a green necklace and green ribbon.
Shelley MacArthur Farley.
Yes.
You're singing at this thing?
I am not singing this year.
Could I somehow induce you to just stand up in the audience and start singing Cole Porter song?
I will do that. It would be a dream come true for me.
We also have the great Lynn Kiley and Virginia.
Lynn Kiley and Virginia Bobbins, who have been very
great.
Great people to chair with.
You
actually,
too,
I didn't sign on until I knew they were going to do it. So
that's right. At first she goes, well, who else do you have?
I did. I said, well, wait, just me or who else?
That's what all co-chairs say.
Yeah,
that's what
it's
all
true.
Who else you got? You got anybody else?
You know, but they have been so great to work with, and they're lovely people and very supportive. And we're all believers in Bill and Old St. Pat's.
We're just so fortunate to be able to do this type of
program. Yeah, no kidding.
And it cannot happen without the likes of Lynn and Virginia
It helps, enrich the whole St. Patrick's Day experience here, which sometimes is really diminished to die the river, get drunk, kiss somebody. It enriches it and elevates it to the status it should be. You two. Bill Farr, who's the artistic and creative director over at Old St. Pat's and of Shimson and Gale, and Shelley MacArthur Farley, one of the legendary cabaret singers. I like to call it saloon. Sinatra was a saloon singer. That's not a bad
Sinatra,
thing.
Sinatra, yes, he was. And actually, I had a very wonderful experience with Sinatra. He was at Four Torches.
This was in my modeling days.
We used to hang at Four Torches. You can't tell that.
That's another show. Yes. You two, I know you'll probably be terribly exhausted by Wednesday, but it's a good exhaustion. You're doing God's work, man.
Thank you, Rick. It's really lovely. It is great to see you,
Shelley. You bring back so many great memories. And Bill, it's a pleasure. We must know 800 people in common. And don't let John Cusack. If Father Cusack wants a ticket, I'll even buy it.
He's got to go.
I'll buy it for him.
He comes every year.
But he sneaks in. He goes, I don't need a ticket. I'm Father Cusack. I know
he is.
I know he is. He's a sweetheart. So are both of you.
Thank you, Rick, for having us.
That's not mine. At least Graham, the world's greatest producer, and Debbie Silverman,
who's been really wonderful. But I mean, that
she got you your first gold star.
She sure did.